Hello again. This is Pastor Deborah, and we are beginning this new section of the School of Light called Prayer and Fasting. I want to give you a warning, a disclaimer, before you begin. This section may be very troubling for you and triggering, so go slow and stop as needed. As you read and as you listen and as you watch, you will not be alone this time. As you listen and hear, you may experience many feelings of fear, triggering, and memories that come back and that arise and are very frightening to you. But I will be with you, and so will Agape Love during these times. This warning is to just let you know Pastor Deborah went through some not nice things, tests and trials, so she would qualify to be a mighty priest and king to help you. So this is a warning, a disclaimer, that the following lessons may be a little hard to listen to. As we get into Volume 2, they are the true stories of people that Pastor Deborah worked with. But some of her tests and trials, you may see that learning how to help people the Lord's way is very hard. So I wanted to warn you and give you this disclaimer. So don't worry. Healing is here for you. Restoration, and there is help during these videos. So come and learn and grow. Go slow. Love always and forever, Pastor Deborah. Hello again. Pastor Deborah here. And we are in another School of Light lesson of prayer and fasting. Yeah, the one that Pastor Deborah actually lived through and went through. And these are powerful lessons for you to learn how to help people the Lord's way. Remember, Pastor Deborah had been helping people from the way of the world, the mental health counselor's way, by being a licensed clinical mental health counselor. Pastor Deborah was educated, trained, experienced, and state and nationally licensed and certified to diagnose, yeah, and treat mental health disorders, diseases, illnesses, just like a doctor. In fact, the license that Pastor Deborah, which was really, she went by the name of Jan at that time, it was in the Medical Quality Assurance Department of the state. Yeah. I was actually what was considered a medical professional dealing with medical diseases, disorders, and illnesses. I had to know a lot. I had to be supervised. I had to work with psychiatrists, medical doctors. I had to know a lot about medicine, biology. Yeah, I had to study Freud, who taught us a lot about the conscious and the subconscious. Did you know that Sigmund Freud actually believed there was one more part of us called the unconscious? He was trying to figure it out. He had a lot of strange beliefs, but he was the beginning, sort of the modern world. Oh, there have been people trying to help people since the day one. But this is all about Pastor Deborah's journey from how she was helping people in the ways of the world as a mental health counselor and doing all those techniques and theories and every way that was available to help people with very serious emotional problems, mental health problems, biological problems, substance abuse problems. And one of the things Pastor Deborah learned was if you call something an illness, a disorder, or a disease, a disease, then it falls under the category of medical and biological. And you must have medical training, be supervised by the State Department or the national, I think it was insurance companies, who treat biological diseases and disorders. I had to learn the codes of the insurance companies. We worked out of a book called the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, the DSM. It kept changing after so many years because every disorder had a number. And if there was other little things attached to that disorder, let's say depression, and you'd had depression for so long, or you had something else mixed in with depression, let's say anxiety, which is fear, then that was like a number dot something else. And that was the language of the insurance companies that they used to make a payment to the treating physician, Pastor Deborah, the medical person, Pastor Deborah, to treat, undiagnosed, a disease, a medical, biological problem. That's where Pastor Deborah was back in, started about 1983 and stayed in that till about 1993. Had 5-6 years of college, 2 years of supervision, lots and lots of educational classes, continuing education, seminars, involvement in the professional organization called the American Mental Health Counseling Association. That's where Pastor Deborah was. And God asked me to put all of that down and to learn how to help people His way. And this prayer and fasting is just some of the many ways in the stories and the journey that Pastor Deborah went on to learn how to help people the Lord's way. In the previous lesson, lesson number 4, we were working through some scriptures. We had just learned about the heart cries that the God hears, who is a spirit, from the spirit of humanity. Now I want to pick up with another scripture, but before we do, I'd like to have a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have brought us here to this video to watch and learn, to grow and develop. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is here, our spiritual teacher, to help us to pull back the veils of darkness and ignorance, help to renew and reveal to our spirit the truth, and help our soul to transform itself from what it is into a brand new creature that you desire it to be. We thank you for all that you are doing for us, and that you are using the life that you helped change, Pastor Deborah. So thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of this. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. All right, now we're in class. Yes, I see all of you out there. I see you by the, oh my gosh, there's billions of you. You might be hearing me in your dreams. Yeah, I can do that. We might be in the garden. We might be in an amphitheater outside with the multitudes. Never know. But learn and grow, that's our job. We're going to start with Exodus 3, 7 through 10, the Authorized King James Version. Verse 7, and the Lord said, now he's talking to Moses. Moses has written this down for us to hear. I have surely seen the spiritual affliction, okay, of my people, which are in Egypt. The spiritual kingdom of darkness. Egypt represented that. It represented slavery and oppression. It represented bondage. It represented ignorance, serving other gods, being, having taskmasters, living without any hope of freedom, living in a land of idol worship and demonic spirits and other gods. That's what Egypt represented spiritually, even though Israel was in it physically. So Moses, as we know, God calls him, he was of the tribe of Levi, tribe of priests, to help set his people free so he could start building a nation that was his, that would then go out to all of the world and take all of this knowledge. But that didn't happen very well. And the the Israel fell away from that, and God had to turn to the Gentiles to get this work done. But God is going back. Pastor Deborah just helped a young, wonderful rabbi and find this God that he had not met. Because God had to pull back a veil of darkness that was covering him. Because those that read the Old Testament, most of them are still under a veil of darkness. They cannot see the spirit part, the relationship of God as Father, and that they are his son. They see God, but God wants them to go into this deeper relationship, because you can't get to your identity as the son of the living God, a king here on earth, till you first make that connection that God is your spiritual father and you are his spiritual image and likeness, according to Genesis 1:26. So Moses gets called, sort of like Pastor Deborah got called, to go set the captives free. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I've surely seen the spiritual affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, the spiritual kingdom of darkness, and have spiritually heard their spiritual cry by reason of their spiritual taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. Don't you think that God never understands or doesn't hear a child's cry of hunger? But he's listening to the spirit. He can see it's been abandoned, rejected. It knows its sorrows. Verse 8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to spiritually bring them up out of the land that they're in darkness, unto a good land, a large one, unto a land flowing with milk, agape, love, and honey, power and truth, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. He was explaining to Moses, they're in a biological earthly land. I need to move them. Yes, there are other people in the land I want to send them to, but the land is mine. I created the earth. I can move people in and move them around if I want to. And I want to take this group of people called Israel, meaning my prince, plant them biologically in a land where there's other people. So I'm going to have to move those other people out. That's not where I want my people to be. People have to understand, when you are a king, the creator, you own whatever you created. God created the earth, all of it. He owns it all by right of creation. He can move you there and move other people out. Might be a fight, but if he wants to give you a piece of land on earth, then that's his right to do that. Not a government's right, not another nation's right. Okay, so that's where he's talking to Moses now. Verse 9, now therefore, behold, look, listen, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, he's telling Moses. And I, the Lord, the Heavenly Father, have also seen the spiritual oppression wherewith the Egyptians spiritually oppress him. He's looking spiritually. He can hear spiritually. That is what it's telling us. But a lot of people, they see the physical, but they don't know there's a spiritual there. They kind of know there's a soul there. They know there's a mind and emotions, but God's looking deeper at that spirit. He's looking beyond the flesh, the natural, into the unseen realm of the spirit. Verse 10, come now therefore, Moses and Pastor Deborah, and I will send you spiritually now unto Pharaoh, unto Satan, into the kingdom of Egypt, the kingdom of darkness, so that you, Moses and Pastor Deborah, may spiritually bring forth my precious spiritual people, the children of Israel, my inheritance, my newly reborn spiritual children, out of Egypt, out of the spiritual land of darkness and ignorance of slavery. God always, in the Old Testament, when he's going to do something, usually, he partners with a human to help other humans. And they, boy, we need that. We need God down here helping us. But he isn't going to do it by himself. He would break his own law of Genesis 1:26, where he said, I give to man all the authority and dominion down here. Now, if man prays and allows me to come in, which we were seeing when God says, I'm coming down to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a mess. I've got to destroy it. Too much wickedness. And he comes to Abraham. He says, what you think about that, Abraham? Abraham says, sir, I know my brother's there. He's kind of bad, but he's not that bad. There's got to be some righteous people in there that believe in you. Surely you wouldn't destroy the city and everything. Maybe you could find 40 or 35 or 30 or 25 or 20. And he got down to 10 people. He was sort of bargaining and taking counsel with God, who had come down in an earthly form as a man with two of his angels sitting under a tree and eating. Don't think God can't come down here, an angel can't manifest. So can the demonic spirits if they want to. So he is coming down and he is bargaining, working with humanity on behalf of other humans. They don't even know it's coming. But God had a relationship with Abraham. So they sat there and they discussed. And if Abraham had gotten down, even if you don't find one righteous person, you won't destroy the city. And God agreed to all of it, but Abraham only got down to 10. So God got up. We believe it was Christ Jesus in a earthly form, manifesting himself, the Word made flesh, and two of his angels. And they started walking off, and Abraham kept talking to him. Now, God did not go, or Christ did not go into the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Too much evil, he can't be there. But his angels, they went in, they looked around, they found Lot and his wife and two daughters, and that was it. And that wasn't 10, so the order was given to destroy the city. Great movie. I don't know if I have it on the website about Sodom and Gomorrah. A lot of people think Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for homosexuality, but it wasn't. The thing that got them into homosexuality was pride, an overabundance of blessings, time on their hands. Of course, they were all unsaved, disconnected from God, and they went downhill, and it ended up in homosexuality. It was so bad that these men of the city wanted to have sex with the angels. That was not anything unusual for humanity or the spirit to have sex with spiritual beings. Early on, in before the flood, we believe that some angels, some of Satan's, came down, took on human form, and they had sex and married some earthly women. And they believe that's where they got these things called Nephilims, big giants, because their DNA was changed. They were larger. Other people are now having sexual dreams of having sex with demonics, other human spirits in the realm. Sex is a spiritual intimacy. And a lot of people feel like when they're dreaming, they are having orgasms and they are being kissed and they are being touched, and they are, but it's with their spirit that is coming, which is still one with their soul. So their soul feels it, and therefore their physical body feels it. I had this young man, he wanted to have sex with Pastor Deborah so bad. He said, I'll enter into your husband. You have sex with him and I can feel it. And I go, I don't think so. So this was going on, and I was running into a lot of human spirits that would go into other physical bodies. And I learned very early on about this, that when somebody is arrested and put in prison, we'll use the MS-13. Their spirits are not arrested. It's not a spiritual arresting. Their physical body is there, but their spirits are completely free. They leave their bodies. They come out and get into other people. And they do whatever they want to do. They type on computers. They do hacking. They get into bodies. They have sex. They eat. They drink. But they're using another physical body, and they're overpowering it. So Pastor Deborah had to learn how to pray that when they were arrested and put in prison, that their spirits also had to be bound up so they could not come out and travel all around. Because a lot of times you'll run into somebody and they'd say, I didn't do it, it wasn't me. And it probably wasn't. It was either another spirit, a human spirit, a demonic spirit, or one of their multiple personalities that did it. The great example I can give you of that is there was a young man, I think his name was O.J. Simpson, and they accused him of killing his wife and a pool friend. And he said he did not do it, but Chorley did it. Now, nobody explored that. I remember O.J. Simpson had been a football player, lots of head injuries. Don't know much about his life. But that was a great case of saying Chorley did it. Probably did, whoever Chorley was. Could have been a multiple personality, could have been a human spirit, could have been, don't know. So what happens is Pastor Deborah is learning that when you are in Egypt, you got a lot of power spiritually. The spirit's a very powerful thing. So let's keep going here. And what happens is the enemy wants to use that. And you see that by studying Egypt. I want you to work for me. I'm your taskmaster. I'm your human trafficker. You are my slave. I can do anything I want to you in domestic violence. You will not leave. Okay? And even if you're in a nation and a country with corrupt leaders, they'll try to go around and convince you that what they're doing is right and you're going to benefit from it. While they're stealing your money, taking your freedoms away, allowing babies to be killed in the womb, stopping you from having the faith that you want. It happens in all nations. There is spiritual Egypt, and there is biological earthly Egypt even now today. So what happened was Pastor Deborah was going to get sent. She was going to become a Moses. And then she had to learn how to become a Joshua and keep on going. And Pastor Deborah was to become a spiritual deliverer sent by the mighty agape love of the Heavenly Father. I was to carry it, this gift, this authority, this dominion, and this power. The Heavenly Father was looking for someone to help him, just as he went looking for Moses, seeking and searching for a true shepherd. One that he could train and raise up to be a mighty deliverer. Could God trust you as a shepherd? Would you allow him to train you his way? Would you allow him to fast you off of anything that would interfere with him and his ways? Well, Pastor Deborah said yes. The Heavenly Father was seeking another whose heart was also spiritually hearing the silent cries of the precious spiritual ones plugged into a matrix of control through darkness and ignorance. The shepherd had to be on watch and hear its heart's prayers for the Heavenly Father, had to know them, had to study them, and had to know if the cry he was hearing were true ones. This shepherd, Pastor Deborah, had to hear these hearts' cries and prayers to somebody. They didn't know it was a Heavenly Father. And I had to know that he too was crying to reach them and touch them. And his tears were just as real as a spiritual being here on earth. And that he would go the distance. And he had to know, could I, Pastor Deborah, go with him and be trained and fasted, and through prayer, could he get me where he needed me to be so I could help him help the people. I had to be taught, trained, tested for the love of the purposes of the Heavenly Father's purposes and hearts. They had to become mine. I had to live by them. I have no other purposes but his. Me, Pastor Deborah, had to love the Heavenly Father's lost sheep as he did, willing to give my all, even my own life, for them. Me, Pastor Deborah, had to become a shepherd, had to be spiritually hearing his voice intimately, moment by moment. Pastor Deborah had to become a shepherd, had to be taken out of the fields where I had been trained to help people, watch over them as a mental health counselor and as a mother and even as a wife, and be trained as a king, a warrior, an administrator, a manager, a leader, to protect and defend these precious spiritual ones against their spiritual enemies that would come, even death itself. Pastor Deborah had to be a shepherd that could be led and taught from his words of spirit and life out of the Bible, had to have a spiritual understanding of who the spiritually least of Christ Jesus' brethren were from his own words of spirit and life. Pastor Deborah would be tried and tested as a shepherd, as a king, as a warrior, as a priest, more than any others. This shepherd, Pastor Deborah, had to become a king of the spirit realm of the kingdom of heaven, a righteous king who could be 100% trusted in all battles to give the Heavenly Father the glory and take none for herself. War, Pastor Deborah had to study. Do you know I watch a lot of World War II movies and battles? I study war. I study special operations behind the enemy lines. I have to see the attitude that these people had. I had to understand war tactics, because God was going to talk to me in terms of war and battles. He was going to train me to be a special operations undercover secret agent, one that could go spiritually behind enemy lines and get the captives out. The kingdom of heaven, the righteous king, could he be 100% with me? Pastor Deborah had to test that herself. She had to know the kingdom. She had to know herself as a king. I had to be able to trust God in all battles and to give the Heavenly Father the glory that was due his name. This was his work. I was to be about his business here on earth, not mine, not a religion, not a denomination, not a world government, not a secret society, not a political platform, not a political parties, not a nation or an internet, but a global, international, inter-realm spiritual goals. That's where I was going. This king had to have no fear. Pastor Deborah had to have no fear, but only love others. Only the Creator could be the affection of the king's heart. I couldn't love husband, child, anybody, anything more than I loved God and his purposes. Everything else had to be fasted off, died to Pastor Deborah. To this day, I am that way. He is more important. His goals, his purposes, not mine, not a family's, not what my soul wants, not anything. Not even my earthly family or earthly positions could be more wanted or loved or desired than the purposes of agape love. I've tried over the years to fit in, be a part of the community, fit in and doing what other people do in churches, and it never works. Because I am called beyond that, above that, to only work for the kingdom of heaven and God himself. My purposes had to be only agape love's purposes that would guide me, rule me, this shepherd, and this king's heart and soul. This king, Pastor Deborah, had to become. I was to become a deliverer of slaves. I had to believe beyond any limits. I had to believe and be willing to operate in all the spiritual gifts that would be required. I didn't even know what they were. I learned I don't activate them. I don't have anything to do with them. My spirit had to be ready when they turned on by the Holy Spirit to move in them. So I studied Christ Jesus. And I saw in the four Gospels and the Old Testament and these gifts at work. This king, this shepherd, Pastor Deborah, my heart and soul had to be operating out of the fullness of the resurrection of Christ Jesus, a total spiritual child of the kingdom of light. Me, Pastor Deborah, this king would have to understand military war, battles, the hidden spiritual enemies, and their tactics of slavery and control. I had to watch the movie, the trilogy, The Matrix. Excellent. Watch The Miracle Worker with Helen, about Helen Keller. Excellent. Some wonderful, wonderful movies out there to see what slavery and oppression and ignorance and darkness and the power of a teacher, the power of one Morpheus to help a spirit get free and become all it's supposed to become. Agape love had to be Pastor Deborah's guide for this king to be a partner and a counselor with the Lord. I had to be able to speak his words. I had to be able to understand spiritually what he wrote and taught. To help you, the reader and the hearer, spiritually understand this great spiritual responsibility of helping people the Lord's way and the spiritual power and authority and dominion of the kingdom of heaven that spiritually goes with it. Continue on to listen to the lessons, watch the videos, read the stories from the words of the Heavenly Father about himself and what he is spiritually looking for in the heart of people who are desiring to become a spiritual king, a shepherd for his precious, precious spiritual little ones, who are held in slavery, spiritual captivity, in the matrix of control through darkness and ignorance. Then you will hear and know the will, the purposes of the Most High God himself for his lost spiritual children and spiritual king that Pastor Deborah was becoming, a shepherd for the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to end this tape, lesson number 5, right here, because we're going to pick up on the next one. Going to go a little deeper. Let's end with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for these deep words of showing how you were going to guide and lead Pastor Deborah. You were going to help her with fasting off of the world and teach her more about prayer, this intimacy with you in a relationship to set spiritual captives free, to help people the Lord's way. Use Pastor Deborah's story, sir, to help other people to see beyond what they know, to see that when they want to help people and how to help people, they must come to you. If they're going to do it with the spirit. We know many people help the physical body in many ways and the soul. But that's not where you go. You are a spiritual God in the spirit, for you are a spirit. And all those who work with you must work with you in the spirit to reach the spirit. So help them to see this. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. All right, I'll see you next lesson in the School of Light in the course Prayer and Fasting. And that should be lesson number 6. I'll see you then. Until then, you keep studying, learning. Go to the website and read. I may have changed the word some. I'm trying to do double here on my screen. Read, videotape, talk to you through my board. But you be continuing to learn and grow spiritually. Love always and forever, Pastor Deborah, and I'll see you again in the School of Light. Prayer and Fasting with lesson number 6. Bye. Thank you for listening and watching this video. It is an honor and a pleasure to have you stopped by today and watch. This is Pastor Deborah, and I hope you come again and watch many, many more videos and learn and grow spiritually and hear how she has helped people spiritually, the Lord's way, for many, many years. Come again, watch another one, and we welcome you to be a subscriber to the channel, to make comments. And if you wish to contact Pastor Deborah, please email her at her email address for the ministry at pastordeborah@agapeloveishere.org. You can also see these videos on Twitter and on the website in the many different sections that they are put into. Enjoy, and it was once again an honor to have you watch and listen. Thank you, and come again to another video of Agape Love, Love is Here Ministries, a ministry of helping people the Lord's way that Pastor Deborah has been doing for many, many years. Love always and forever, Pastor Deborah.